Coming up tonight here at Northern Michigan University, a reading by Matt Bell, NMU's newest fiction writer, takes place tonight at 7:30 in room 167 of Grease Hall here on the NMU campus. Matt Bell is an award-winning author, and he'll be reading from his debut novel, which is coming out later this year, called In the House Upon the Dirt, Between the Lake and the Woods. He's also the author of Cataclysm Baby, a novella, and How They Were Found, a collection of stories. He's had several pieces of fiction appear in different publications and is included in a couple of anthologies, Best American Mystery Stories of 2010 and Best American Fantasy. He's also the senior editor at DeZank Books, and he edits the literary magazine The Collagist. Did I say that right, Matt?
Absolutely.
All right.
That's great.
So we'd like to welcome, let's make sure that you're on here, Matt Bell to our studios.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
The reading tonight is about your new book, but let's fill in the blanks that
sure.
get us to the new book. This is your first year here at Northern. What brought you to Northern?
I was really lucky to get asked to join the faculty here. My family's from the Upper Peninsula, my mom's family.
Cool.
So I spent a lot of time here when I was a kid and I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And still came up backpacking at Picture Rocks like every year.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in Ann Arbor and before that in Saginaw. So really lucky to be up here. It's nice to kind of reunite with that side of the family. My wife teaches in the chemistry department as well. So it's been good. So we're both first-year professors together. But yeah, so far so good. You know, love Marquette, fantastic being here.
Mm-hmm.
University is great, yeah.
And in terms of writing, as we mentioned that you do have the novella Cataclysm Baby, what sorts of things do you tend to be drawn to in your writing?
Yeah, you know, a couple of years ago I would have said that I write about a lot of different things, and I'm hoping that will continue to become truer again. Cataclysm Baby was a collection of, it's a novella in shorts, it's a collection of 26 very short fictions, all narrated by fathers, and they're all post-apocalyptic parenting stories.
Okay.
So they're all 26 different ends of the world, 26 different parenting dilemmas. And then the new book, In the House Upon the Dirt, Between the Lake and the Woods, is also a sort of non-realist, mythic take on marriage and parenthood.
Okay.
So I've written two books in a row, sort of roughly around the family, around marriage. And they're fairly different books, but clearly that's an area that I'm mining right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hopefully we'll move to something different in the next book, but it's hard to lose your obsessions sometimes, you know?
That seems to be where you always go.
Right, yeah, at least in the last couple of years, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, could you tell us a little bit about the book with the long title, In
sure.
the House Upon the Dirt? Let me see. Between the Lake and the Woods.
Yes, thank you. It's a lot of title. As I said, it's a myth about marriage and parenthood. It's narrated by the father or the husband mm-hmm. and this newly married couple that moved to this this place, the dirt between the lake and the woods, to build their house. The husband is a hunter and a trapper and a fisherman. The wife is a singer who's able to sing objects into being with her voice. So in the beginning, when they're building their house, she sings like small household objects into being. Later in the book, she sings a second moon into their sky, that event that starts sort of changing the shape of the sky. The husband finds this giant bear in the giant bear in the woods that he has to contend with. There's a squid in the lake. And the whole time they're sort of obsessed about the idea of this family that the husband wants to have. And then they fail to be able to have children. So the husband ends up with the ghost of one of their failed pregnancies that lives inside him. Comes this thing called the fingerling. They find another child in the woods, becomes the foundling. And then it starts to get weird.
I was hoping it
wouldn't be
too mundane.
And that's like, I don't know, like the first like 40 pages of the book or so, you know?
Okay.
So it's this very sort of different, non-realist, mythic, fairy tale kind of take on marriage and parenthood. And what happens in a marriage when people want children and can't have them.
Okay. Would you like to read a little bit from
sure,
the book for
Sure, absolutely.
Us?
I'm just going to read, this is the second full chapter of the book. I'm just going to read the first page or two. This is the flashback to when they're first coming, first getting married and first coming to the dirt between the lake and the woods. On the day of our wedding, on some now distant beach, My wife had sworn herself to me with ease and in faith, and I did likewise for her. Together we made the longest promises, vowed them tight, and it was so easy to do this then, to speak the provided words. We did not know what other harder choices would necessarily follow as we made our first life together in a new city. And then again, after we left that country and journeyed to the dirt, this plot stationed so far from the other side of the lake, from the mountains beyond the lake, on whose distant slopes we had once dwelled in the lake of our parents, where perhaps there still perches that platform where we stood to speak our vows. How terrible we must have seemed that day, when together we were made to believe our marriage would then and always be celebrated by ceremony and by feasting, by the right applause of 100 kith and kin. And then later, how we were terrible again, upon this far lonelier shore, where when we came alone. When we first arrived upon the dirt between the lake and the woods, there was then still sun and moon, only one moon, and stars too, all the intricacies of their intersections circumscribing the sky, their paths a tale to last every night, a waking dream to fill the hours of every day, and despite that bounty, my wife was often flushed with tears, because what world we had found was not enough for her, not enough for me, not without the children we desired, that I desired, and that she desired for me. And despite her doubts, she said that she would try, if that was what I assured her I wished. In those days, there was no house, and until there was, we required some place to sleep, to store the many objects we had been gifted at our wedding, the others we had carried forward from other years, those lived beneath the auspices of our mothers and fathers. And so we went into the woods to seek a cave, and in a cave we laid out our blankets and stacked our luggage, and there my wife waited amidst that piled potential, while each day I went out onto the dirt, while I raised a house with just my shovel and axe, my hammer and saw, my hands hardened by the same. In that cave I did not leave her alone, though I had meant to do so, and all this happened long ago, when I still thought meaning to do something was the same as doing it. And I, too, was lonely as I built the house and the first rough shapes inside. I built the table and chairs, fashioned the stove and the sink, crafted the bed where I would lay my wife the first night I brought her across the threshold, where as I watched, the ink of her hair wrote one future after another across the pillows and sheets, and in that splay of black on white, I smiled to see all the many possibilities of our family formed out of her body, drawn into my arms.
Matt Bell, reading from his new book, In the House Upon the Dirt Between the Lake and the Woods. There's a reading this evening with Matt Bell at 7:30 in Grease Hall, room 167. It just so happens, Matt, that what you just read, without me knowing it, was what I read online earlier, because I haven't seen any of your stuff.
Right.
But I haven't. So I read that, and I was struck both in the reading and then when I heard you read it, I heard more things of really how many of those things, you know, you go through when you get married.
Yeah.
The long vows and the thinking you're going to celebrate this forever. And
right.
Really, it seems that, you know, you move from that place to a place where you realize you have to build everything, and it's not what the dream was.
Right.
It is what, oh, you have to make it.
Yeah. I mean, I have a wonderful marriage. I'll be married 9 years this year, and I have I had a wonderful wedding. But the difference between the wedding and the marriage is dramatic, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Like they're not the same thing. Part of the problem that the narrator has in this book is that he, is a person who's obsessed with the idea of having a wife, of having children. But then struggles to actually take on the role of husband and a father, right? Mm-hmm. That the difference between the idea of having a wife and of being a husband, difference between having a child and like being a father, is a constant source of frustration and sort of failure for him that gets acted out, of course, in these sort of different ways, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting that you mentioned that your earlier work, the Cataclysm Baby, the novella, a series of short stories, right?
Yeah.
All had to deal with fathers and sons,
mm-hmm.
and impending doom or the
right, apocalypse. Right, right.
And so there you have that relationship that you're writing about over and over and over.
Yeah.
And now in this book, you have the father wannabe, the man who craves, has to be a father but can't. What was the... Well, I guess, how did that happen?
Where did these come from, right?
Yeah.
you know, in some ways, I don't know, except that maybe that, you know, I'm 32, I've been married a while. This is, you know, in some ways, the subject, not just of this part of my life, but of a lot of my friends' lives, and a lot of, you know, everybody's in the place where we all got married, and then everybody has kids, everybody gets a house, and everybody, you know, we're starting our careers, and some of it, I think, is just that these are the concerns of my station in life in some ways. One thing I've always written about is about people taking on... Some stories of mine often begin when a character takes on a new role in some way, right?
Okay.
The story of mine that was in Best American Mystery Stories, a story called Dredge, is about a character who is fishing, and he finds this dead body, and he becomes a detective trying to solve the murder of this person, right? So the story is about... He begins when he becomes a detective and sort of ends with his success or failure as that person, right? And parenting obviously is a similar thing, or marriage is a similar thing. You're one thing and then you're another. And the success of your marriage depends in part on your success in that role. And I also think that these stories are about fear of loss, right? I mean, a lot of stories about fear of loss and what we would do to protect the people we love or to give the people we love what they want. And marriage and parenting are places where that's more fraught or harder or more difficult or means more, which makes it a fictional well you can keep going back to. You know, there's a almost limitless amounts of sort of narrative power in marriage and in being a child or being a parent or, you know, those. You're not going to exhaust those.
Probably not.
Probably not. I'm not going to write the final word on those particular topics.
Right.
And thankfully, you know.
Yeah. So I know this may be almost a ridiculous question.
Sure.
With the book coming out in June, I believe, and you probably have a lot of work to do still with maybe making other appearances and readings and promoting the book, but what's next besides all that?
Right, right. I'm working on another novel. So working on the next one. This is mostly been done for... I did kind of final big edits on it, right after I moved up here. They were due the week after we moved, so my wife defended her PhD dissertation on like August 10th. We moved 2 days later. We got in the house. I set up my desk and I had like 7 days to finish final edits on the book. And then, you know, like 7 days to get ready to start teaching here. So we had
no
like
pressure.
A really, yeah, no, nothing. I mean, we just lazed about all summer. It was really nice. And so I'm working on a new novel, which on one hand seems like it's taking me sort of in a different direction. And on the other hand, there's the things you sort of never leave behind, but hopefully something different. It's been interspersed with working on the editing process for this. You know, my editor pops up every couple months and wants me to look at some new issues or think about some new things. I think we're now done. I think they're like printing books somewhere or will be within the next week or two, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you know, I mean, I worked on the book for a little over 3 years from beginning to sort of last day of work. It's always kind of, it's great to be done. And it's also always a little bittersweet about it, right? Like that's the last chance to get this book right is passed. And hopefully hopefully I've done what I can and we'll try to do more for the next one. It's great. I think that balancing, I didn't know this when I first started publishing books, that the book that was coming out would take some of the time you're using to write the book that comes after, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious. I mean, it happens to musicians, it happens to everybody, that doing the work for the thing that's coming out takes away time from the next thing. But you get better at it. You learn to balance that and sort of the new creativity versus the old thing, and
All right. Matt Bell, thanks so much for stopping by.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
The reading is tonight at 7:30 at Grease Hall here on campus, room 167. Matt Bell, assistant professor here at Northern Michigan University. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
This is Weekday on Public Radio 90 WNMU.